is the night that we experience the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here, Luke lays it out in great details. He sets us in this context. Augustus is the emperor of all Rome. Quirinius is the governor of Syria. And because the emperor is demanding that the whole world be registered. Oh, the whole Roman world, to be honest with you. That's what they're talking about. Because there's a lot more that was outside of the Roman Empire at the time. But we're only talking about the Roman world. And Jerusalem and Israel were part of the Roman world. And Joseph is now, because of this, forced to make his way home from his home in Nazareth, which is way in the north part of what we now called Israel, around this area called Galilee, all the way to Bethlehem, which is where his family comes from, because he was born from the line of David. Now, it is during this time that the hapless couple arrive in Bethlehem to find that there's no one to take them in, that there's no room to rest their weary heads, and Mary's just about to give birth to this child. And they arrived too late. They didn't make reservations. And it must have been full because of Augustus's decree. And so they're forced to bear this baby in this little manger, this tiny area where there's horses and sheep and any number of animals. And then the shepherds receive this announcement that Jesus is born and had the words from the angels to give to Mary and Joseph. These wonderful words, giving Mary this present, this treasure of the hope that the angels have as she holds her little newborn child, this little God, to her breast. I want to talk a little bit about this registration, though. We start off talking about Augustus and this registration. And why, what was going on in the world that Augustus had this need to have the people registered? Now, I've always heard this story. They're talking about a census, right? You want to count all the people. But when I read it this time, I got stuck on that word, registered. It seems different now when I hear that word. And when I was a young man, when I hit the age of 18, I had to register for something called the Selective Service. This was something that happened some time ago. Now, it was after, some years after, I mean, Vietnam was in our past, but they still wanted to keep track of us. Everybody, every male between the age of 18 to 26, just in case they decided they were going to do another draft. Now, they don't do this anymore. But I kept that card going out of civic duty. Even through all the struggles I had in my early 20s, I somehow managed to keep that card and let them know where I lived because I was afraid they were going to come get me. And when a couple gets engaged, they register for gifts. Now, this isn't because they're greedy. Its main reason is so people aren't giving them. I mean, Michael and I just a little story, little sidetrack. Michael and I wound up going to a wedding recently, and we gave them a waffle iron. And actually, a waffle iron was something that we had gotten when we had gotten married, never opened it. But we gave them a waffle iron, and then a week later, they sent us an email asking us if we had a receipt for that because that was their third one. Because they didn't register for gifts. So they wound up getting multiple of the same items. So it's entirely about collecting information. This isn't counting people. They want to keep tabs on people. So not so they can allocate resources properly, although that's a part of it. But we read in Scripture that the empire wanted to register the world, which was certainly a lot of people, even if we're just talking about the Roman world. If you look at a map of the Roman Empire in the time of Christ, you see that it expands all around the Mediterranean Sea. And although on a world map that looks kind of small, that's still quite a bit of area. And if you want to talk about what's called the civilized world, which we might, that's an iffy term, to be honest with you. But the European world, I mean, it's all of North Africa, it's all of most of Europe, a little bit of Asia too. I mean, so that was, and then there were empires in the east of there, but they didn't really have anything to do with that. And so, but the Roman Empire was only interested in who was around at that time because they wanted to maintain order. They didn't want people uprising against them. So they wanted to know where all the different types of people were at any one time so they could remain in power. Now, one thing I have to say, I mean, what we read is that the Roman Empire was registering everybody without question, you know, without thought of who, what kind of people were being registered. They were looking to register every single person. Now, that's considerably different. Now, a small minority of people, like has happened or like has been threatened to be happening here in the United States, for instance. I mean, they, back in World War II, we registered people of German descent, we put people of Japanese descent away in camps. And in the 80s and 90s, there were politicians that wanted to register people with HIV and have this nice list. Now, with telling us that they were trying to prevent the spread of AIDS, but you know, I think that at least some of those people were interested in removing what they determined to be undesirables from society, because that's what they wanted. And so when I hear this talk of registering Muslims that are in our country, and some of these Muslims are American citizens, many of them are, and while many others are fleeing from war-torn areas like Syria, especially Syria, refugees who have no other place to go. And so the rationale is that this is to protect us from Islamist terrorists, where I like to think of it as an unjust means of creating a false sense of security, something like the TSA does when they want you to take your shoes off before you get on an airplane. To create the illusion that we have the names of all these people that profess a certain kind of faith, and by having these names, we're suddenly immune from this type of terrorism that could be taking place. This type of threat that actually endangers far fewer people than, say, domestic gunshot wounds, or a healthcare system that continues even under the Affordable Care Act to allow some people to fall through the cracks and get sick and die because health costs remain prohibitively expensive for many things. And so we get to this place of distrust of neighbor because of paranoia that's been driven into us, whether intentionally or unintentionally. I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, although I do hear a lot of it, that this is what they want. But I think a lot of it is we're driving itself by the same media sources that demands that we spend on these weeks following up, coming up to Christmas. And there's this kind of paranoia that pervades, that prevents us from being hosts to the stranger, to the lost, those who are seeking refuge. And how can we as human beings take the word of those who would seek to alienate others when we know ourselves that the refugees who are entering our borders are escaping the same type of terror that we are in fear of. And so some people will point at Muslims and say, we've got to keep track of them. We've got to register them because they are terrorists. Because an incredibly small percentage of them that believe that they're fighting a holy war. And it hurts people that we're trying to help. Because it hurts ourselves. When we who profess to be following Christ are acting in kind of an unchristian manner. I don't think we can say that we're participating in a self-professed holy war and still claim to be following our own Christian faith. And what is our Christian faith based on? The life of Christ our God, who was born, who brought light out of darkness, the light that came into the world, the hope of all the ages. And we don't need a sign in the sky from angels to tell us that Christ in others needs to find a place to lay their heads. Now, I don't know how many of these people who our next president seeks to register are refugees, undocumented or documented immigrants, or how many are naturalized citizens and how many are native-born citizens. But I know that whenever I've met people who are marginalized for whatever reason, whether they're Muslim or whether they're not Muslim, whether there's some other group of people that have been marginalized, I meet people who want to be safe, who want to be treated like I want to be treated, who want to be respected, who want to be treated with integrity, who want to be loved, who want to be looked at in the eyes and like they're human beings. Christ came on that day. God sent God into our world, not just for this small group of people of Israel, but for the whole world. The choirs of angels declare his glory. The shepherds come in from the fields to gaze upon his miraculous face and share good tidings that they've been given. And a mother gazes upon her vulnerable child's face, and I think maybe Mary thought for a moment, I like to think for a moment that she said, how can this innocent little baby that is in my arms have a destiny to lead the world out of darkness? He's a baby. And he's a baby who holds the darkness at bay, that we may live in the light. Amen.